going to be a little different, a little more sobering. Of course, it's all sobering. We always have to keep in mind, like we were talking before, the world that we live in today. The world that has not only pushed God to the horizon, but now off the horizon. Yeah, we don't need you anymore. We don't need any of those old-fashioned morals anymore. We don't need any of that old superstition anymore. We'll do what we want. And people have always been that way, but it's really been out of control now. You know, Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun, and that's true. But I don't think in ages past people thought about little boys becoming little girls, or people thought about men marrying men, women marrying women. Maybe they did. I don't know. But, you know, certain people I won't mention by name say, well, we have the technology to do it, so why not take advantage of it? You know, if you want to change your gender. So that's where we live. We live in a pagan world that is completely in a rebellion. And this is where the evangelists of the first century lived. We're going to talk a little bit about my hero, Paul, because we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. And we're going to go to chapter 11. If you want to flip to it, that's great. But Paul wasn't a wussy, wimpy believer. Anybody think Paul was a wimpy believer? Like we are? Like people we know? Oh, I don't know. I better not say anything. Oh, I don't know. I'm tired. Oh, my foot hurts. I have a runny nose. What can I do? Oh, shut up, you big wuss. Like, the whole world, the spiritual warfare has reached the point now of maximum. I mean, Franklin Graham recently said every demon in hell's been unleashed on the earth. I mean, that's what we're fighting now. And we're worried about our comfort, our cholesterol, all this nonsense that we worry about, how many pills we take. And the whole world is going down the drain. Paul didn't think of it that way. And when he writes two letters to the Corinthians, of course, because the Corinthians were a mess. And if you saw that thing going around on Facebook about if Paul can see the church in America, he would send us a letter. I think he'd probably send like 10 letters. Because he sent the Corinthians too, because they were a mess. And when we get to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 2. We're going to take a few passages. He's talking about how gullible people are to false teachers. You've probably seen this among your friends. You might have seen this in people who go to your church. Oh, well, I don't know. Who's to say? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it isn't. You know, maybe it's not like that. What can I do? I don't know. Everybody just, you know, can do what they have to do. So we see it happen. The Corinthians were out of control with this. And he sends them in the second letter, he warns them that there's false teachers around. And that he is preaching the truth and he's suffering. He's not worried about his runny nose. He doesn't care about his feet hurting. He doesn't care about his cholesterol. He doesn't care about following a healthy diet. He is being beaten, stoned, left for dead, criticized, humiliated by people. Life is in danger, not just by the Gentiles. Not just by the Jews, but both of them, as we're going to see. So this is where he lives. So let's start at 2. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The gospel's simple. The simplicity that is in Christ. Ever since the beginning, people have been adding to the gospel. people have been adding to this. Well, yes, yes, you know, of course that's true. But also, you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do the next thing. Also, you have to know this and you have to know that. And all these great heresies that started right off the bat. They didn't start in the 1700s or the, you know, 1900s. They started in the 100s. They started in the 200s. Because Jesus warned about false teachers coming. John warned about false teachers coming. Paul warned about false teachers coming. Peter warned about, and they came by the dozens. And so people who aren't solid on a foundation, they don't have roots, they don't stand on a foundation, they're going to fall for the craftiness. They're going to fall for somebody saying, oh, what about this? Oh, yeah, you know, I never thought about that. Oh, this guy knows more than I do. He went to Bible school. He went to a seminary. I'm not anybody. I'm just an ordinary working guy. He must be right. They're all going to fall for the craftiness like Eve fell. Eve was way smarter than we are. Make no mistake about that. Her mind wasn't clouded with sin when she encountered the serpent. Her mind wasn't clouded with, gee, I got so much to do today. I don't know what I'm going to do. And, oh, you know, I got 18 doctor's appointments today and I got to go to this thing and I got to go over there. And she wasn't clouded with any of that. And she fell. He can have us for dinner. Satan can have any of us for breakfast. So he's worried that they're going to fall away from the simplicity of the gospel. We have time to go into all the ancient heresies, but I'm sure you know about them. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. You may put up with whatever comes along. Different Jesus. Oh, Jesus wasn't a hater like you are. Jesus accepts everybody. Yes, that's true. Jesus wasn't a lunatic like you are. He was kind and gentle, and like when he tipped over the tables and made the whip. You know, nobody ever talks about that. Nobody ever talks about Matthew 23, how he talked to the religious leaders. Read that for your homework. Oh, you Christian people today, you're nothing like that. So you may very well put up with whatever comes along if you're not grounded. I've tried to ground you. I was there for 18 months preaching to you. 18 months. Talking, preaching, lecturing, debating. No PowerPoints, no handouts. Hey. Oh, come on, that was a little bit funny. Where's Jordan? I spent all this time trying to give you a foundation. I found the foundation, as we're going to see in a minute. Paul says, I found the foundation in really a miraculous way. And I'm trying to get all y'all on the foundation so that you don't fall away. So that you don't fall for any false teaching that comes around. You know, he tells Timothy, people will accept the doctrines of demons. Because whatever goes by, they'll say, oh, that sounds good. Oh, I never thought about that. Doctrines of demons. So false teachers came in. Judaizers came in. Oh, you want to follow the Messiah? Sure, buddy. Okay, here's the deal. First, you have to follow the law of Moses. Then after you've kind of, you know, gotten into that, then you can follow the Messiah. False teachers that came out of that first movement of evangelists. A lot of them were Hebrews. 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. I'm a Jewish evangelist. I'm a son of Abraham. I'm from the seed of Abraham. I'm a minister of Christ. And guess what? I've been working more than the false teachers have. Why does a true teacher have to work harder? Because it's easy to believe the false teachers. It's easy to be predisposed to believing things that are not right. We don't want to be challenged. We want to take the path of least resistance. So he says, I got to work hard. I've been, you know, stripes. He's not talking about what he's wearing. He's talking about having been whipped. He's talking about wounds. I got wounds to show it. I've been in prison. False teachers haven't been in prison. I've been in prison more than any of them. I've been around death. They haven't been. What death is he talking about? He's seen believers being martyred all over the place. There were more martyrs in the 20th century than all the other centuries combined. And what did we do? Watch TV, sleep on the couch, drive around, go about our little lives. Maybe I'll go to church. Maybe I won't. I don't know. I'm really not into it today. Martyred, children crucified, men beheaded. 50,000 people have died in Nigeria since New Year's because they're Christians, because they're believers. 50,000, not 5, not 500, not 50,000. You never hear about it here because they were worried about rainbows and we're worried about the air quality and we're worried about how many snowflakes fell. We worry about nonsense. Nonsense. So Paul says, I've been in prison. I've seen people die. False teachers don't die. People love false teachers. Love them. You see what's happening in every mainline denomination? They're all going down the drain. Because they're being like the world. They're off the foundation. The Methodists just split. I don't know if y'all have kept up with this. But the Methodists went to, you know, all kind of modern stuff. And so a group said, hey, we're going to stay with the scriptures. We're moving over here and we're going to call ourselves something different. You know, and that's happening in Anglican churches. It's happening in almost every denomination. Because every major denomination has gone off the track. No one talks about sin and repentance anymore because that's meaningless to everyone. Plus, you don't want people to feel bad. We want people to come to church and feel good. We want nice music. We want nice lights. You know, get some dry ice and make the smoke and steam. And we'll have an uplifting sermon, build everybody up, tell you how awesome you are, and how tomorrow morning when you go to your job, you're going to have the power in you. I got 30,000 people in my church. So I can go like this. I got $10 billion in the bank, so I can rejoice. That's 21st century Christianity, and it's nonsense. So he says, this is what I've done. So he talks about his qualifications. I got qualifications. You know, in Philippians chapter 3, which we're going to do on the Zoom study, Philippians chapter 3, he says, hey, I'm an Israelite. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I've done all the stuff. You know, I'm Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm Hebrew of Hebrews. I do all that stuff. And now that's all lost compared to knowing Christ. It's all rubbish. But what do we have? Oh, here's the right Reverend Joe Blow, who has 18 PhDs in divinity. And he's telling me nonsense. So he's talking about false prophets. He had qualifications. And, of course, he was an apostle. He wasn't just an ordinary minister. He was, as he says, chosen in an abnormal way compared to the other 12. He never walked around with Yeshua. He never hung out with those other guys. He was called in a different way. But he says, in 1 Corinthians, he says, I've done more than all of them. He was also arrogant. He was a Pharisee. And he did do more than all of them. So he wasn't ordinary. He suffered. He suffered for the sake of the gospel. And he was given the grace to endure it. If you remember on the road to Damascus, when he's blinded and they lead him into the city and he spends 3 days praying, not eating, not drinking, sitting on his bed, laying on the bed. And when the Lord speaks to Ananias to go to him and heal him, and then Ananias, you know, gets a little nervous at first and he says, Lord, I don't know if you're aware of this, but this guy's bad news. This guy's killing our people. So he says, no, you're going to go there. You're going to tell him what he has to suffer for my sake. What do we consider suffering? The cable's out. What are we going to do now? I'm 98 years old and my shoulder hurts. I can't understand it. Shut up. Paul's told what he has to suffer to be a vessel to the Gentiles. To the Gentiles. So he's commissioned. He's been around people dying. He's always in danger of death. He's seen lots of other disciples die. This isn't a joke for him. He knows what's going on in Rome. He's seen what's happening, not only in the Holy Land, but all through the Mediterranean. People are put on crosses. People are covered with tar and burned. Not 5 minutes of being uncomfortable. They're dipped in tar and they're burned. People today would reject Christ in a second if somebody said, we're not going to give you your pills today. Oh, what do you mean? Let alone put go in the tar and get burned. So he had seen all of this. He was an extraordinary minister, but he was also an extraordinary sufferer. Because he went to the Gentiles, the Jews hated this. Why are you talking to Gentiles? We hate you because of what you're preaching, and we hate you because you're going to these unclean people talking about a Jewish Messiah, and that man was nothing. He wasn't even a minor prophet, let alone Messiah. So I hated him. Hated him. He was one of them. He was a Pharisee. The Gentiles hated him too. You know, read about what happens when he goes to Ephesus, you know, the temple of Artemis, the goddess Artemis, Diana. Big temple, one of the wonders of the world, big industry all built around the goddess Artemis. Paul comes in and starts preaching Jesus. People start becoming believers. And the guys who make all the idols and, you know, the Artemis souvenirs, they start having economic problems. And they say, hey, we got to get rid of this guy. Gentiles hated him. Jews hated him. He's treated like a criminal. He tells Timothy, I'm in prison. I'm like a lawbreaker. But I'm in chains because of the gospel. But the gospel isn't chained. The gospel's never chained. You know, somebody once said, the word is like a lion that's in a cage. You open the door and let the lion out. You don't have to worry about what the lion's going to do. You don't say, oh, poor lion, how's he going to survive? He knows how to take care of himself. And he knows how to eat. It's the same with the word of God. All you have to do is let it out. And you'll see what it's going to do. So he suffered like a lawbreaker. Stoned, beaten, left for dead, put in prison. Lawbreaker. I'm in chains for the gospel. I'm not in chains because I'm a murderer or I'm a thief or I'm an insurrectionist. It's for righteousness' sake. For the sake of the gospel, I'm in prison. Why? Because the world hates the gospel. Look around you. They hate it. You ever notice on TV and the movies and entertainment everywhere, you could talk about any number of things, but if you talk about Jesus, then, oh, wait a minute, we can't have that. Right? We could talk about Muhammad, love that. You know, even though in Muslim law, you know, if you're a thief, they'll cut your hand off. If you're an adulterer, they'll kill you. If you're gay, they'll throw you off of a building. But hey, I mean, hey, that's okay. Hey, we love them. But Jesus, we can't handle that. We don't want to hear about that. Why? Because the demons know who Jesus is. The people don't, but the demons do. They know more about him than the people do. So for the sake of the gospel, he's in prison. So what happened to me? Well, from the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Stripes, wounds, whipped. He's whipped. Why does he say 40 minus 1? If you've studied Torah, you know. It's 40 lashes, but they did 39 in case they lost count. So if they did 40, but they had had an extra one or didn't have, you know, oh, they might, if they did 41, it would violate the law. So they would do 39. Forty stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. That's no fun. Once I was stoned. Three times shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Shipwrecked. He's in the ocean, hanging on to some board or something. For 3 days. Or three times. In the ocean. Shipwrecked in the deep. He lets go of whatever he's floating on. He's going to drown. The false teachers are having a field day. People love false teachers. Look at the time of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah, we want to hear something good. We want to hear something nice. We don't want to hear about destruction. We don't want to hear about judgment. Tell us something good. Well, destruction's going to come from the north. Everything here is going to be torn down, but put them in the pit. False prophet shows up. Hey, don't worry, you guys. Everything's cool. Oh, okay. Now here's a prophet we like. When you go to work on Monday, we like preachers like that. We're going to get a bonus. I'm going to get a promotion. We love preachers like that. I want to hear some good things. If you have enough faith, everything will be healed. Really? Then how come people die? As I told a whole group of these hyper grace people one day, or whatever it's called, do you know anybody who was born in 1800? And they all said, no. How about 1900? No. I said, where are they? They died. Exactly. You mean none of them had any faith? So he's in the deep, in journeys often. He's always traveling. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea. I'm always traveling around and I got to worry. Are robbers going to attack me? Are the Jews going to attack me? Are the Gentiles going to attack me? Doesn't matter if I'm in the city, if I'm in the wilderness, if I'm in a boat. Attacks from every side. In perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. False brethren are persecuting me. False teacher goes in right after Paul, goes into a town and goes, seriously, I know Paul was just here. Did that guy make any sense to you? To me, it sounds like he's a little bit, I don't think he's playing with a full deck. Well, he was kind of much. Yeah, I'd say. You really going to believe all that stuff? false brethren. Oh, yeah, we go to church, too. But that guy's nuts. That guy's a little too much. You know, a lot of times when I would witness to people at my office, they'd say, wow, you take this Jesus stuff pretty seriously. Hey, yeah. What should I take more seriously? My grandson's baseball game? My salary, my car, my house. What should I take more seriously? What is there to take more seriously than your salvation? Yeshua, Jesus himself said, what's it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I mean, Antichrist is going to come, and you know, Monica and I were talking about how he's waiting in the wings. It's going to be probably any minute. He may control the whole world, but his future is not bright. It'll be bright for a little while. Oh, come on. That was pretty funny. Can't sleep because there's so much stuff going on. You know, they slept out in the open. They didn't check into the Hilton or the Residence Inn and say, okay, good, I'll just lock myself in here and I'll be fine. And, oh, they have free breakfast in the morning. This will be good. He's sleeping outside. Hunger, thirst, fasting, cold, nakedness. Why? Because I'm preaching the gospel. Why? Because I have to travel all around. We already talked about the lashes. And by the way, the Gentiles had no limits on how many times they could whip you, like the Jews did. When the Romans scourged Jesus, they didn't say, oh, wait a minute, I think that was 40. We better stop. If you came to that presentation on the shroud that Dave Onisco did, there's between 100 and 200 lashes on that body that's on the shroud of Turin. There's not 39 marks. There's hundreds. They had no limit. He was stoned and left for dead in Acts 14. In Lystra, they stoned him. They thought he was dead. They threw him out of the city. You can read Acts 14 for your homework too. And then he kind of like, you know, he comes to and he says, well, better get back in the city. Let's see, where did I leave off? What would we do? Oh man, I'm never going there again. They were mean. I think I'll find a safe space because they were mean. He says, okay, I'm going back in the city. And so, you know, all these perils, his people, heathens, false brethren, hunger, thirst, sleeplessness, cold, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern is for all the churches. All this stuff is going on. What I'm concerned about is the churches. What I'm concerned about is the churches that I started and the churches that are going to form based on what I've said. That's what I'm worried about. If they kill me, well, someone else will take over. If I have to be cold, well, small price to pay compared to saving people. My concern is for the churches, not for my well-being. I don't have a retirement plan. He can't sit, you know, with some blanket out in the middle of the wilderness thinking, gee, my 401k really took a hit last night. I was watching the news and boy, it looks like I lost about 20% of what I, no, he's got nothing. And this is the fact that he's concerned about churches, this is his heaviest burden. And he could put up with all the other stuff. He could not care about the worldly things because he's worried about the churches. I'm worried about the churches too. We should all be because they're a disaster now. You watch the video of what happened at the Vatican last weekend? Gay dancers, rainbow stuff going. You see what's happening in Lutheran churches? Drag queens coming in and doing Bible, you know, doing story time for kids. Presbyterian Church. Oh, yes, we're going to do it too. Yes, oh, yes, of course. No one says anything. Paul says, I'm worried about, that's what I'm worried about, not my comfort. I don't care what my blood pressure is. I don't care what my cholesterol is. I don't care if my feet hurt. I care about the churches and what's happening to the people. I'm worried about false teachers coming in and they're being deceived like Eve was. That's what I worry about. But I keep going. And why? I love 1 and 2 Timothy. But this is just an example. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Can you imagine preaching the gospel and being called an evildoer? You know, in Canada, the Bible's been called hate speech. It's been classified as hate speech. The Bible, hate speech. Everybody says, oh, that's terrible. Oh, how long is it going to be till that happens here? For which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I don't care about all my discomfort. I care about people being saved. I care about people coming to Jesus. I care about people repenting of their sin. I care about people having their righteousness in him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Not some righteousness they think they have because they said the right prayer and it was just long enough, perfect. Put the candles in the right place. The book was in the right place. They ate the right thing. Huh, things are going good here. No, this is how they're saved. And this is what I care about. The simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. I'm not going to talk about that. That I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I might, by all means, save some. I'll do whatever I have to do to save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Because guess what? I'm saved the same way you guys are. I'm not saved in a different way. Yeah, I used to be a Pharisee. Yep, I used to wear all that cool stuff. Yep, I was the holiest one. Yep. Nobody had anything on me other than the high priest. I was in charge. Now, I'm just like you. I get beaten. I get stoned. I get whipped. I sleep out in the thing. I get cold. I don't have food. I don't have water. I have some food over here. But I'm worried about who's going to be saved? So when you die, what do you want to hear? You want Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant. He's not going to say, you know, you took me way too seriously. You should have relaxed a little bit more. You never got enough sleep. You never got your 8 hours. You should have slept a little better, you know, improved your diet. Maybe exercised a little bit more. Should have had a little more fun on the weekends. That's not going to come up. Because He says, I'm partaking of this with you. Because Mr. Pharisee was nailed to the cross, right? The old me was nailed to the cross. The condemnation that was due to me by the law was nailed to the cross. Colossians 2:14, nailed to the cross. Back to Corinthians, it's not I who live, it's Christ that lives in me now. So I get beaten. Well, I don't like being beaten, but I have to sleep out in the cold. Well, I don't like sleeping out in the cold, but I'm here because I got to go preach to those guys in the morning. And I'm a partaker with you because I'm saved the same way as you guys are saved. There's not two different ways to be saved. Can you imagine Jesus suffering this horrible death and saying to those people who were there underneath the cross, you know, if you want to follow me, that's cool. I'd love to have you follow me. You know, there's going to be a church pretty soon. If you want to be with me in a church, hey, that's great. If you want to follow somebody else, I mean, that's cool too. Buddha, yeah, you know, Buddha, nice, good guy. Confucius really taught you how to live. You know, you really... No, he says, this is it. This is the only way. Why do you think I'm doing this? So we're in the danger of the false teachers. They're all around us. We're in the danger of these sufferings and these demons. But we have to worry about the well-being of the church and preaching the gospel to those who haven't heard it. And just because you go to a church, the person sitting next to you in the pew or the chair may have no clue what the gospel is. I always go on Sunday. Well, Sunday I'm there, man. Yep, yep. Went 50 times last year. Yep, every time. Almost every time. Well, I missed a couple. He may have no clue what the gospel is. So we have to be like Paul. You know, the writer to the Hebrews, we'll get to that pretty soon, says, you know, you guys I'm writing to haven't been killed yet. You haven't shed blood yet, but it's possible. I don't know anybody in this country who's been actually killed for their Christian belief, but the way things have been going, it's not out of the question. So we have to be ready and we have to be concerned. All right.